I get happy and I forget where I am. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for the miracle of your love taking place, Lord, that you have kept the friendship of this church and our church for years and years and years, and we just thank you for it, Father. Thank you for the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit that it be upon me, that I minister to this great body of believers, that they receive what you have for them, and that we can rejoice in your love and your power and your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, my message is simply this. Do we believe in the rewards of righteousness? Now, when Pastor Woodrow and I were coming along, everybody was confessing everything, you know. Confess it, possess it, you know, and name it and claim it and all that kind of stuff. But there comes a time where that stuff doesn't work. And so we find ourselves challenged. And the Lord is always telling us, do you really believe? See, one of the problems that we have is that we don't pay attention to the fact that the devil works 24/7. He's not giving nobody no slack. If he can get a crack in, he gonna nail you to the wall. And very often we don't think about that, because we are accustomed to being performers. And performance orientation is thinking that you're going to get a blessing by performing rightly. But you're going to get the blessing when you believe. See, let me say this. How many of you believe? Few of y'all raise your hand. Some of y'all didn't raise your hand. I'm worried about this crew here. You know. See, really believing means that we believe and trust in the power of God in spite of what he allows to happen to us. See, one of the problems that we have in life is that we are so accustomed to being performers. We are taught every day. Our culture teaches us every day, you know, I love you, do you love me? And that's a good rap. But real love is sacrificial. See, real love is sacrificial. Real love is not a feeling, it's not an emotion. Even though it may evoke great emotions, it's not an emotion. And yet the world wants to reduce it to that. You wear the right clothes. You have the right hairdo, hairstyle. That's it. And we ain't talking about them. Well, other folks have. But anyway. But what happens is we grow up believing that if we look right, things are going to be right. But how many of us have been victims of the fact of looking right and people being mad because we look right? You understand? They used to tease me all the time when I was coming along. I wasn't saved. I was a believer in what I did, you know. And so they would nickname me, say, well, you just lucky. You just fall in a barrel of cow dung and come out smelling like a rose, you know. They would call me lucky and all of that. And I'm saying, how can they call me lucky? I'm going through hell. But you see, God knew. He allows the bridge to be out, so that the only way we can cross it is by believing and trusting in him. See? one of the blessings that I get coming here, because I know how this began. See, I know how it began, Flat Shoals and what that road, McAfee. Yeah, McAfee and Candler. Now, nobody had the idea that this church would be as powerful and as large as it is today. Nobody. But you see, God knows when we don't know. Now, one of the things that I have learned is that when the blessing is about to come, all hell breaks loose. All hell breaks loose. It looked like, boy, you know, remember the children of Israel when they came to the Red Sea. Some of y'all read that in the Bible. But when they came to the Red Sea, here's the big ocean in front of them and the enemy gaining on them in the background. But they believed God. God parted the Red Sea for them, and they went through on dry land, and the enemy came through and drowned. See, we can't be concerned about what people think about us, because those that belong to the Lord will love us. Those that don't belong to the Lord, ain't nothing you can do for them. You see? Now, there's a scripture that we hear about all the time, but do you really believe it? And it's in Ephesians 6. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." People are not our problem. Now, I grew up in the 60s. Born in the 30s, grew up in the 40s and the 50s, and I started to be an adult in the 60s. And we had all of these, and you know, the Lord told me, he said, you know, forgive if you have aught against any. Well, now, think about it. I'm born in the 30s, grew up in the 40s and the 50s, and there was a group of people I couldn't stand. And so one day God was dealing with me, and he said, "Son, you got to forgive him." The Lord had us in an integrated church, and there wasn't that many of us in that church, but one of the sisters there, the white sister, says to me, "Wayne, you're only doing what we've been taught." I'm saying, they were the victims of their culture. See, the only difference between people besides race is culture and language. Period. How we grew up is the culture that we embraced until we allow God to change it. One of the things I do all the time when I go place to place and I ask, "Where are you from?" But now I can tell the folks from Atlanta. I'm born in Atlanta. I'm a Grady baby, you know. And so that's that declaration. That's the nucleus of that culture, you know. But what happens is that we don't understand everybody goes through the same thing, albeit in a different environment. Think about this. How many different ways can you be pregnant? See, now, we take that for granted. See, we don't think about that. But when the seed is planted, it's my daughter just said it's done. You're right. But here's a challenge. The mother goes through the suffering of 9 months in preparation for that delivery. But the scripture says, but when that son is born, she forgets about everything she's been through. Glad to be able to welcome her son into the world. Now, salvation is like that. See, a lot of people say they're saved. But you can't be saved doing the same thing you did before you got saved. Impossible. See, one of the things that happens, you know, the culture in which I grew up in, you know, you had to be a rap artist. You know, you had to be able to say the right thing at the right time to the right person with the right pedigree. And then I made a big mistake. I went to college. Good Lord. And you learn all kind of bad things in college. And the tragedy was I was 16 when I got to college. And that was a miracle from God. I didn't even know how I got there. Now, my mother was a school teacher, right? So I called hell. Oh, you think you all of that, you know. Okay. But God had protectors all around me all my life. There was a brother, they would be real quiet, you know, and he and I would always talk a little bit, not much. But if anybody messed with me, he said, you know him? No, I don't know the so-and-so. He said, well, you better find out. Because ain't nobody gonna do nothing to him. And this guy, I don't know where he is to this day, but it was the angel of the Lord right there for me. And so God is saying to us today, will you trust me where I have you today? Will you trust me? Will you cast all of your care over on me, knowing I care for you? It's a tragedy in the church. A lot of people in the church be worrying. Did you know worrying is a sin? I only got a few amens there, preacher. I'm worried. See, worry says we don't trust the Lord. The scripture says the just shall live by faith. Now, we can have faith in our car. We can have faith in our position. We have faith in our money till it run out. We can have faith in a whole lot of different things, but the question is, how do we allow Satan to make us feel we cannot trust God? That's his game plan. Now, your pastor and I have been friends for years. Because we trust the Lord in us, we're different. We grew up in different cultures, but it doesn't matter. When we belong to the Lord, we are all about the same motivation. Question. What has God called you to be? What has he told you about where he wants you to be? See, we can go through life and never change into what God wants us to be. Go to work, come home, feed the kids, look at TV. You understand? And we don't understand that there's much more to life than that. I go to bed praying every night. Not for me. I'm praying for my kids. I'm praying for my associate pastors. I'm praying for all of the trials or challenges that we endured in a day's time. I don't go to sleep until I pray. For as many as the Lord will reveal to me at that time. Some people don't even know, don't pick up a Bible until they come to church. Why? Because that word is powerful. That word not only blesses you, but it will convict you and will show us where we're missing it. Now, one of the things that we are tried every day is the envy of other people who envy your freedom, your liberty. Why do they envy your liberty? Because that's what the devil has them doing. If I envy you, am I believing and trusting in the power of the living God? See? I'm envying you because in my heart I believe God has given you something that I wish I had. Instead of believing God to reveal to me what he has for me. You see, as I grew up, I was the son of a school teacher. Now, in certain corners, that doesn't engender any friendships. Oh, you think you all of that and a bag of grits, you know. You. And so, at the time, you didn't know how to trust God, you know. So you felt bad on the inside, you know. And I never will forget, I was in the military and I was in Washington, D.C. And there was a brother that had had a challenge while he was in school with me. And we ran into each other. And this brother knew everything about me. I'm scratching my head. I'm saying, how would he know all of this stuff about me? But let me ask you a question. Is your example a blessing to other people? Because if it isn't, there's something in your heart that you have not surrendered to God. You see? The scripture tells us, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't think people count it all joy. They get mad. Fuss and cuss and complain and moan and groan and carry on. But the Lord says the joy of pleasing the Lord is our strength. The Lord says, happy are ye, in the book of James, happy are ye when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, I only got two amens, the pastor. See, because we want to be blessed. We want to have blessings, but we don't understand the blessing doesn't come until the trial. Now, there's a scripture, my favorite scriptures in Philippians 3:13, and it says this, forgetting what's behind. Two amens. I'm worried about this crowd here, I'm telling you. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, what can we gain by looking back? There is nothing that we can gain of the mistakes we've already made. The only thing that can bless us is that we have put all of those things under the blood and that we desire to please God. Now, there's another scripture we don't pay much attention to. It says, study to show thyself approved. A workman under God that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some people don't even pick up their Bible even when they come to church. Have you noticed that some people have Bible looking new? Never open the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because they don't value what's in. What's in it? In the Bible are the treasures of life. Now, somebody said, well, which Bible you study? Well, listen. We got all kind of Bibles out there. But I'm just old-fashioned. I studied the King James Version of the Bible. Why? Because that's the one that will teach me the spiritual power of the living God and will not hold back anything. Now, when your pastor and I were coming along, we studied all them other different Bibles, you know. I used to be a victim of the Amplified Bible. I'm going to tell you. See, the Amplified Bible is still an attempt by man to explain the Bible to folks. When you have to read a King James Version of the Bible, you have to depend on God to give you the revelation. See, you got to pray. And so people get hung up over the strangest things, you know? It's like a lot of times we don't understand. God is trying to show us a miracle. But miracles don't come until trials come. See, you don't need a miracle when everything's going well. You need a miracle when things are going through hell. Amen. And we don't think about it. Now, how about this? We think we are progressing because we attend church. We show up. But our mind is somewhere else. Nothing makes a woman angrier than a man always looking at another woman. Now, I hear y'all out there. Some of y'all saying you're going to stop preaching and go on to meddling now. But the reality is, we are all victims of the culture in which God has allowed us to endure. Every last one of us. Now, let me ask you a question. What have you been believing God for? And it hadn't come. How do you act? You know, it's like we have a home-going church. Well, that's what folks call funerals. I mean, what can you gain with fast singing and slow walking in the old hometown? I mean, what can you get from that? We believe in everybody going to heaven. But everybody ain't quite going to heaven. The scripture tells us, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Now, coming along, I thought, I was really making it. I was in business before, just before I got saved, man. So don't nobody run off and say, you know. And I thought I was really doing it. I had property everywhere, and I was buying and selling, and I was every corner that I could make a dollar, I was doing it. And the market was great. I was making money. And every time I made some money, I'd buy something else, you know, because I had it all figured out. You know, you get a tax deduction, you know, you all of this stuff. And I'm buying property like mad. And all of a sudden, the market changed. Now, the last thing I wanted to be was a pastor. The very last thing that I wanted to be was a pastor. Because I hadn't seen any pastors that I liked. You see, we go through life and we don't realize life is about who, what, where, when, and why we are every day. I mean, what good is it to perform on Sunday? And you're living in sin on Monday. You see? As we have witnessed in life, you know, some people drop dead without warning. See, I want to be ready when he called me. The scripture says, what doth it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I'm going to give you a little experience that I had. It's part of my testimony. I wasn't saved at the time. Going through hell, needed money. God sends a lady from Chicago to meet my wife. And she invites me to a businessman's breakfast. Now, that sounds good, you know. And the first thing that blew me away, they were speaking in tongues. What? White folks speaking in tongues. And I'm saying, what in the world is this place? So I'm sitting down front, and all of a sudden, the moderator says there's some young men in here who have financial problems. If they believe God, come on down front. We'll pray for you to get your finances healed. Guess who was first in line? But when I got down there, instead of him praying for my finances to be healed, he says, Lord, give him the wisdom for what you have called him to be. I said, so I went away feeling bad, you know. I said, golly. I didn't know how to feel about that now, you know. Now, mind you, I had all this property that I was buying because I had old philosophy, you know, if they let me sign on the land, it's mine. So I had my name on it, but, you know, the mortgage company owned most of it. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that God is calling some of you to a stronger position in the church. But you're running. You got track shoes on. Because, you know, when you start working in the church, you know, you're going to get exposed. You know what I'm saying? And so people like to be safe. I just come to church. Show up on Sunday. I pay my tithes. I don't mind that part because I want some money. But when it comes to giving up what's normal to us, we don't want to do it. And one of my favorite scriptures is 1 John. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the eyes Now, you remember I told you about that lady passing by? The lust of the eyes. I tell this story. I got to tell this story, y'all. Y'all will forgive me for digressing a little bit more. There was a brother. He went to this nightclub. And the featured singer was a beautiful lady. And, he was turned on by her, you know, and he been to call her up and everything, you know, and they finally got the dating and carrying on. And so one night, he was sitting there watching her, and she was taking off pieces. And she was taking off things, you know. And so he kept watching her. And apparently he asked himself, what did I see in her? And he remembered she was a singer. Hey, baby, you got to sing. See, I done to stop preaching, huh? My daughter said I done gone to middle. That's how we're. But the whole point that I'm trying to make is this. What do we come to church for? Do we come to learn, to grow, to rejoice, to be victorious, or not? I mean, what good is it to sit up in church and hear the man preach and you don't receive anything that he's preaching? There are all kinds of things that the world attempts to deceive us with. There are a lot of people pretending to be something that the Bible never said for them to be a part of. There's certain parts of the Bible people don't like to hear. You know what I'm talking about? Some people call the Bible sexist, because it talks about men. And we don't understand that men have been given the responsibility to lead the family. One of the things that I can always tell a young person that has a strong family. They might have trials. They might go through different stuff. But if they had a strong family unit, they're not picked off with stuff that doesn't mean anything. See, they're not picked off. One of the things that picks us off is popularity. You can be popular and on your way to hell. I've been there. And one of the things that I had to recognize is that if we don't give God the glory in every area of our life, what's going to happen when he calls for us? One of the questions that I consistently ask the church, where would you go today if you were to die? Where would you go? Would you go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? You see, it's so quiet in here. Because people don't think about stuff like that. I want to be ready when he comes. It's just like in our culture today, people always say, I love you, I love you, I love you. You don't be love, be lust. I love you for what I want from you. But I don't love you enough to make sacrifices for you. I don't love you enough to wait. I got to have it now. But then what happens when you get it now and it ain't right? You're mad. Because it didn't give you what you thought you would receive from the relationship. And the other strange thing that happens in church is people get amnesia. You know what? You know, amnesia, you lose your mind. You know, you know how they forget the things that they have done. Okay? Yeah, thank God for Jesus. Praise God. I understand that. But when the Lord is dealing with us and he says, time for you to repent, we say, I'll do it next week. Oh, I ain't quite ready for this today. But again, where would you go if you were to die today? See, walking with the Lord is a matter of urgency. It's a matter of urgency. The scripture says, be ye ever so ready. For the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready? If you were to die today, where would you go? And if you're not certain, I think you're going to be in your prayer closet tonight. Because God will be dealing with you. Now, one of the other traps that we fall into is judging other folk. The Bible says, judge not. But we don't even hear that. The gossip line, you know. Who does she think she is with that dress on, or that new hairdo? Or who does he think he is with that new car? Well, what if I got an old car? What you gonna say then? See, we have this tragedy that we are being taught in our culture, and we're being taught to judge others and not deal with ourselves. How many people you blessed today? How many times do you measure the blessings of God? Or do you accept God's blessings over everything? You know what I'm saying? Maybe I didn't say that right. Let me say it another way. How many times do you give God thanks for what he has given you? How much do you value God's love for you? The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I have all of the faith in the world so that I could remove mountains and have not agape love, I'm nothing. Though I give my body to be burned and give to the poor and I don't have agape love, it profiteth me nothing. Love is kind. Is not easily provoked, doth not behave itself unseemly. Real love, see? The trap that we fall into is that we are conditioned to believe that lust is love. Now, the only tragedy about lust is that it operates like love, but then it's temporary. Because God says the things of the flesh are temporary. And so we find ourselves wondering, who do we really believe in? When I see these children up here dancing, it just blesses my heart. Because they are our future. When I see young people coming to church, that blesses me because they are our future. And we have to pay attention to that every day. Your pastor and I had no idea where God would lead us when we started out. But God has blessed us every year. Now, being a pioneer, you know, is real painful. Because people are trying to figure out where you're going and how you're going to get there and who's helping you and doing all of those kinds of things. But if we are not dependent on God, we will let what Satan does to steal from us and cheat us out of what God has already made available to us. What do you do when you can't get married? Oh, woe is me. Don't nobody like me. But the Lord says, marry the Lord. Uh-oh. Oh, you don't like that one now. Because that one is not going to, that's not going to feed lust, is it? Mm-hmm. Marry the Lord. And you know, the beauty about marrying the Lord, he will show you what's a blessing to you and what's not a blessing to you. As we grow in life, God is showing us day by day the things we need to deal with. As I grew up, I was always thinking. And one day this man says to me, "Boy, you're too smart for your own good." What in the world is that? But what he was saying was, you are smarter than I thought you would be. So I must find a way to talk you out of it. But you see, I had to realize later it was the accuser trying to convince me not to think. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. In everything, give thanks. Let me try that again. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's getting better. It's getting better, Pastor. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. They that wait on the Lord, Isaiah says, shall renew their strength. They shall rise up on wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We must believe it. Remember what I said initially. The journey of a million miles begins with a single footstep. Your pastor and I had no idea where God would take us when we started out. None. But we just believed and trusted in the power of the living God. Hebrews tells us the just shall live by faith. Now, we know that part, but the second part, we don't pay much attention to. It says, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, I want to ask you a question. Are you walking by faith? I heard everybody on this side. What happened over here? I'm concerned about this crew on this side here, Pastor. But what happens? I can't walk by faith until I know my word. That is, knowing the word for myself. Because the scripture tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Holy Spirit speak the word of God in the trials that come before us. This ministry was built on faith. We didn't have nothing when we started out. We didn't have any idea that you would be this great a ministry in this area. But you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. The scripture tells us plainly, if you serve a glass of cold water in my name, that's a blessing coming to you. It's a blessing. But we must believe it. Now, I used to have a bad habit. I hated beggars. Yeah, I had a bad habit. I hated them. You know, the street hustlers, you know, the guy coming up to you, asking you for nickels and dimes and quarters and all that. So one day, to go, I'm driving, and this guy is getting ready to approach me. I'm at the stoplight, you know, at the traffic light. He's getting ready to approach me. And I'm developing my defense against giving him anything. You know what God said to me? Why are you missing your blessing? I said, what do you mean, Lord? He says, did I not say that if you help the needy, I will bless you? You don't judge him. You don't know what got him there. You don't know what happened in his family. You don't know what hell he has been through. And so we find that we have this tendency to judge people from the outside and are not sensitive to what that person may be experiencing at any given point in time. You see, I would like to have a big ministry like this, but mine is not quite this big. See, we can set our church inside of this one right here. But you see, but the beauty is, God's not a respecter of persons. He gives it to us as he has appointed us to believe and trust in him. What I want to say is this. What about you prevents you from casting all of your care over on the Lord? What is it? What's causing you to hold back? Too short, too tall, too fat, too skinny, too dark, too light. Y'all mumbling now, I'm worried. You see? But we have to understand in everything. Y'all heard it over here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We hold back. And you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, meaning the joy of pleasing God is our strength. Come out from among them and be ye shepherds, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Well, we all say we're born again. Many of you speak in tongues. But do you trust the Lord? Has he sent you on a journey you didn't want to take? Of that some memories you won't let go. Are you still looking back at past mistakes and judging yourself according to the past mistakes? Or are you looking ahead believing and trusting that the power of God is available to you right now. Right now. We have to come to a place in our life where nothing is impossible to us. See, only the pastor said, See, but there must be some things y'all think are impossible to you. You see, one of the problems that we have is we don't really know what God has called us to be many times because we won't seek him. The scripture says, seek me early while you may find me. I pray for my church every night. I pray for my family every night. I pray for every trial God has presented to me every night. See? Why? Because I don't want anything to cheat me out of what I know God has prepared for me. I pray. Now, one of the problems we have, you know, well, I don't get down on my knees and pray. That's not prayer. Prayer is believing. I'm not as young as I used to be. I know. I look good. Thank you, Jesus. That's my daughter telling me that, you understand? But what happens is that we're all getting older. We're all in a state of change. There are things I can't do now that I used to be able to do. But I'm also able to do things that I never was able to do. As we go forward, let us remember. Let us love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And turn to your neighbor and say, I love you. Might not know you, but I love you. And so what we have to understand, we are all a part of each other. We are all a part of the family of God. As we go from this place tonight, let us go forth rejoicing, knowing the Lord knows our frame, that he knows everything that we need, and as we believe and trust him, it will come to pass. He also knows what we don't need, and he'll block that door. Have you ever wanted something you know and it wasn't good for you? Don't mumble in that sense. I heard a lot of See, but what we have to understand is that if we don't realize and know what God has for us, Satan will deceive us out of what he has for us. The bottom line is this. We either believe or we don't believe. We receive it by faith or we don't receive it. The last thing that I want to say. The Bible says forgive if you have audience in it. Now that sounds easy. So why don't you forgive yourself for your sins? Instead of saying, why did I do that? You did it because of sin. Why did the Lord let me go through that? The Lord didn't let you go through. You went through. You just made a choice that wasn't good for you. Amen? We are victorious I'll try that one more time. We are victorious. Right now, we are victorious. Father, we thank you for this word that you have given us tonight, Lord. And we pray that it touch every heart within the sound of my voice. We pray for their families. We pray, Lord, for your, we praise you for your mercy and your grace that you've granted to us. We thank you, Lord, for faith. We thank you for your word, Lord. Most importantly, Lord, we pray for those who don't know you. We thank you, Lord, that you call us out of darkness into your marvelous light, and this day we rejoice in thee. Bless every family, bless every child, every son and daughter, Lord. Bless every mother and father, bless every brother and sister. And now, unto you is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, you who are able to present us faultless in that day. We are very careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all that believe and agree with this prayer, say with a loud voice, amen.